Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, Paul here to the Ephesian church. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This morning, I want to title my message, We Are at War. We are at war in this evil day. You may be seated, church. We are at war. It was the last major offensive campaign by the Germans on the Western Front during World War II. It was called, you probably have heard about it, the Battle of the Bulge, one of the most famous battles of the World War. By late 1944, the Allied forces had made significant advances in Western Europe. At this point, the German army was on the defensive. In other words, they were losing. The German army was losing. However, Adolf Hitler had planned a surprise attack to recapture the initiative, something nobody had saw coming. The German offensive caught the Allies off guard on one of the coldest European winters on record, making it one of the most challenging battles of the war. In fact, because of the surprising nature of the attack, the Battle of the Bulge was considered the largest and bloodiest battle fought in all of World War II. It was Hitler's idea, in a desperate final attempt to attack with all of the might that his army had, to see if he could finally defeat his opponents by surprise one last time. Many called it the last gamble. It was a desperate final attempt to win the war. And so the German army went for one last push with all of their equipment and all of their men and all of their weaponry and might and power that they had to try one last time to gain the victory. Today, I believe the enemy of our soul is using a similar strategy, because the church is not the only one who is aware that we are living in the last days. But the enemy of our soul knows the signs of the times just as good as anybody. The enemy of our soul today understands that we are not at the beginning, but we are at the end. We are not somewhere in the middle today, but we are somewhere towards the end. We are approaching the final push, the final season, the final day, the final hour, the final battle, the final war. That is where we are today. We're not anywhere near the beginning, but we are right at the end. I spoke about it the week before last, that what we see in the natural is a representation of what is happening spiritually. There are many things happening in and around the world that we just don't see. We just can't see with our physical eyes. But we can be certain because of what we do see around the world. Much more of it is happening in the spiritual realm with even more intensity. In other words, when we see division naturally, there is much division spiritually. And when we see war naturally, there is much war spiritually. When there's conflict all around us, there is great conflict spiritually. And I'm reminded of the story of Daniel, who he had been praying and fasting for 3 weeks. We probably all know the story. He was praying and fasting for 21 days, and he just didn't understand why it was taking so long to get an answer from God as he's wrestling in prayer. But what he couldn't see was that there was a real battle happening spiritually. The Bible says, because after 21 days, an angel appeared unto Daniel and said, "The Lord heard your prayer, Daniel, the very first night. He heard your prayer the very first time you prayed." And the angel said he would have been there earlier with the answer if he had not been withstood by and opposed by the prince of the kingdom of Persia for 21 days. And so there are things happening even right now that we just don't see. And what we see happening in Israel currently is just a look at what is actually happening spiritually. And what we are physically seeing happening in Israel is an all-out effort by the enemy to destroy God's people off the earth. There's a war happening spiritually, and we can be certain of that because there is now a war happening physically. And after the surprise attack on Israel last Saturday, Benjamin Netanyahu declared, speaking to the people of Israel and probably also speaking to the whole world, declaring, "We are at war." He declared, "Today, we are at war." And since last Saturday, they have been at war, and most people believe that it is only the beginning. And certainly, if we were to look at Bible prophecy, there is a much greater war in Israel's future. I spoke about it Wednesday concerning the war in Israel, and I said war is one thing. We've always seen war, but what has happened and what continues to happen over there is different. When that Iran-backed terrorist group Hamas bombarded the state of Israel last Saturday with over 5,000 rockets, and then when they began to rape women and children and set the elderly on fire and set children on fire alive and behead babies and decapitate them and then live stream some of it on the internet, and you can go find videos all on it right now, and they were laughing and bragging about it. That's not just war, but that's a savage and vicious onslaught from the very depths of hell. It's not just war, but it's actually satanic and devilish. It's a complete new level, new kind of evil. It is truly the spirit of Satan himself coming to annihilate God's people so that not even one Jew is left living on the earth. That's how much the devil hates God's people, Israel. And Satan has absolutely no restrictions today, no limitations to the amount of evil that he is willing to unleash even on an innocent baby or child or a mother or some elderly couple. What we are seeing naturally today is not nearly a true and accurate picture of what is happening spiritually. Sure, we are seeing the Jews under attack, God's chosen people. The devil wants to destroy them. If he was to have his way, he would wipe them off entirely off the earth. That's what he wanted to do in World War II. And I believe he's always trying to destroy the people of God. But the devil is not just in the Middle East. Nor is his hatred only towards the Jews. Nor is the battle only physical. But he's all over today. And the true battle that we face is spiritual. There's a war all over the world against the saints of the living God right now, today. It's going on as I speak. All those who have trusted Christ Jesus, who have committed to serving him, who praise his name and lift him up like we did this morning, who declare that there is no other God besides him, that Jesus is the only one who sits on the throne, that there is none greater and none more mighty and none more powerful, none like our God. There's no army like the Lord's army, and all those who have enlisted in the Lord's army and, as the Bible says, been born again of the water and the Spirit and continue to live for God today, the devil has made war against your soul. When we see with our eyes the wars that the enemy wages naturally, how brutal they are, how bloody they are, how vicious they are, we can be sure that even worse and more gross and more severe it is spiritually. Spiritually, the devil has been on a surprise attack, a desperate, a final attempt to deceive the saints of God, a last all-out push to destroy every child of God. It is a war against the mind, a war against the heart, a war against the homes, a war against the faithful. And I see it today as I was thinking about it this week. I see it like something like the Battle of the Bulge. In this very last ditch effort, the enemy has gotten his army together, all of his weaponry, all of his might and power, and he has gone to war against the children of God, knowing that it is the last hour, knowing that the Lord's prophecies always come to pass. You know, even the devil knows that all of God's words are true, and he never lies. And so very short is the time that the devil knows he has left. The devil knows that it's all wrapping up and coming to an end, and so more coordinated and more severe and more bloody and vicious has his fighting become in hopes to steal one more soul. And oh, how crafty, how sneaky he has been in his attack against the saints. Carefully and quietly on the attack without some even realizing it. Entering the homes of the saints, entering the minds of the faithful, deceitfully and cunningly, like he did in the Garden of Eden. He is speaking to many Christians and they don't even realize it. He has filled their minds with deceit and they haven't even discerned it. He is lying to them today and they don't even know it. It's a spiritual attack where if one does not have on the whole armor of God, they simply cannot withstand it. It is an attack. It's not an attack just on the physical like we see in Israel, the Holy Land, but it is an attack on the spiritual, on all those who are filled with the Spirit of the Holy God. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a war right now in the spiritual realm. And against every saint, the war has been waged. Against every believer, the battle is fought. There is no exceptions. From the greatest to the least in the kingdom of God, the devil has waged war against you. There is a spiritual campaign against the saints, even more severe than anything we've seen on the news recently. The enemy, in a desperate final attempt, is making war with the saints of the living God before the second coming of the Lord. How today we should take a look to see how we might be responding to the last day battle. We should ask ourselves some important questions, such as, is the devil overcoming us? Are we being conquered by the spirit of the age? Are we being conquered by the enemy in this last hour? Or are we fighting with the full armor of God? There are some signs to look for. One would be, Have we become complacent? And have we stopped fighting? Because if you're not fighting, the devil is taking land. The devil is overcoming you. If you feel that everything is at ease in Zion in this last hour, it's not. The devil has deceived you. He's lying to you. You've made friends with the world and the culture, and you've grown comfortable and complacent with your life. For the true saint of God is at war in this last day. Another one would be if you have unrepentant sin in your life, or you've become unbothered by sin. If you're not living a life of righteousness in the Spirit, the devil is overcoming you. The Bible says, the Lord says, repent. We're at war. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the end is near. This hour, this day is the evil day that the writer spoke of. And the enemy is walking around seeking somebody without his armor. If you're not concerned or ready for the coming of Christ, if your mind is always occupied by something in the world, if you're so consumed with the world and like Lot's wife, you have trouble, you have some issues with parting ways with your earthly things, the devil is deceiving you in this last day. Don't look back, church. We must not look back when the kingdom of heaven lay ahead. If you have no prayer life in 2023, if you have no secret place, the Bible calls it, no secret place to get away from the culture and from the world to seek the one true Most High, you are being overcome by the world. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, the Bible says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and he will freely pardon. We are at war. And then if you're trying to make it, barely trying to make it, as a Christian in this world without the whole armor of God, you too are being slowly conquered. For there is no victorious Christian without the full armor of God. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 speaks about this armor. Just give me a few more minutes here. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And maybe I can add this at the end. And let's go fight. Church, let's go fight. With all of our armor in this last day, let's fight. Until we see the victory and until we are with our Christ Jesus, let's fight. So are you doing all that you can today that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy? Satan and his angels or demons, they know their final end. They will spend eternity in the lake of fire. They will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. The Bible says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, the devil's not trying to change that today. He can't change it. He knows he can't change it. He knows his destiny. There is no redemption for the devil. But he's out here trying to make sure you don't find it. He's trying to snatch you away. He wants you to go to hell. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you so caught up and in love with the world that you lose your soul. He wants you to suffer for eternity. And listen to me. He knows, speaking of the devil, he knows you were made in the image of God. He knows that the breath in you is the very breath of God. He knows how much God loves you. He knows that Christ died for you. He knows that redemption is at the foot of the cross. He knows that you could easily be saved if you really wanted it. He knows that the promise that God has given to you is heaven, but he's going to fight you with a determined mindset to keep you from it. He's going to deceive you so that you don't receive it. But church, I come to proclaim the victory is ours if we will fight for it. The promise is ours. Heaven is ours. The Lord is on our side. Our soul will be saved. Salvation is ours if we will fight. I'll end with this today. We all know prophetically Israel will be victorious in the end. God's people will see the victory. And that victory also includes the precious church. The Jewish people have promises from the Lord, and so does the church. And this is why we can have so much faith, so much hope, so much joy, gladness, and peace in our struggles and in our fight today, for we know the end. We have a precious word that we can hope in, a word that has stood the test of time, that we blood-bought saints will see the victory. And you know, it's also why Israel, one of the smallest countries and land size in the world, it's why they always have the courage and the boldness every time they come under attack to go and defeat the enemy. They're not scared. They're not afraid because they know who they are. They know who's with them. They don't have the full truth right now, but they do have a covenant with the Lord. There's even a day coming in which, you know, Israel will stand all alone and they'll be surrounded on every side, the Bible says. But Jesus will come down with a heavenly army and defeat the enemies of Israel and all those Jews who finally come to truth and believe on Jesus Christ will see the ultimate victory in the end. Everyone who belongs to this one true God, Christ Jesus, will see the victory. And so today you say you're struggling, you're at war, you've been fighting and it's been bad, and we all have been at war, but we don't have to be afraid, but we can be bold like the Israelites. We can have so much courage, for we know who we are, we know who is with us, and we know who's going to win. And so I say today that just like Israel, they're trying to defeat an enemy on all fronts, so are we, but we must fight on. With prayer and fasting, we must fight on. With everything we have, with the Lord on our side and by faith, the church must fight until they see the victory. Let's all stand, church. We must fight on. There's going to be a people in the end that will be victorious. All those who belong to Christ Jesus will win. But we've got to make sure we're a part of that number. There's a day coming when all the saints are going to go marching in. But church, we've got to make sure we're a part of that number. A day when the trumpet will sound, the sun will shine, the saints will rise, and the worship will go forth. But we've got to fight until we get there. The church may be at war today, but I plan on seeing the victory. I plan on reaching the goal that Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'm a spirit-filled saint. Paul called Christ the first fruits of God's harvest because Christ was the first to be resurrected. But there's a day of victory coming when all the children of God shall rise. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with our Lord. That will be the day, the victorious day of the church. For the word says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. In other words, the church wins. The church wins. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, and thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I believe we need to look into the future. Focus on the victory that lay ahead. By doing so, I believe we can join our voice with Paul, even in our current situation, even in our battle, and even in our fight, no matter what's happening in the world or around us, we can declare, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. I can be encouraged today, no matter what's happening in this world, even though I'm surrounded by the enemy. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth me the victory. Hallelujah, Jesus. So are you ready for the second coming? Have you been born again of the water and spirit? Bible says repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the baptism of the Spirit. Has the bride made herself ready? Are you ready for the last trump? But the victory will come to the church.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.